And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, the voice of the awakening, coming to you on American Family Radio. That's what we are really trying to do, to wake people up, help people understand what the truth is. And I've got a real burr in my saddle today about the truth. Forgive the cowboy reference. I'm not a cowboy, but you know, I've got a real burr in my saddle today about the truth. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I'm glad to be with you again today and hope everything is going great for you all. And we've got Father's Day coming up, and I'm planning to spend some time on Friday talking to you all about fathers, because I am convinced that the single biggest social problem we have in our country today is the absence of fathers. And that is across the board. It is most acute in the Black community, but it is happening in every community, in every demographic, where we're seeing the breakdown of the family. We're seeing divorces. We're seeing failure of family formation now, and single parent households and children often growing up without parents. Not to mention the abomination of putting children in with homosexual people who are supposed to be sowing into these children confusion before they can even get started, trying to make two men husbands or two women, I guess, wives. I don't even know how that works, but whatever, however it works, it is utter confusion. And given all the problems that children have trying to navigate the world and understand it, add to that the so-called parents' own sexual confusion to that, and the children have to then try to navigate that as well. So just throw that into the mix as part of this whole dismantling of the family as God intended it to be. One man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord instead of in the indoctrination of the left. So you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's what we're trying to do on this program and on this network. So thank you all for supporting us and praying for us and encouraging us, and hope again that everything is going well with you all. Of course, it does appear that the world is falling apart. There is not a day that goes by that you don't hear about something nuttier than the day before. And I am amazed at the level of deception and lying and obfuscation and concealment. And we are living in America. We are truly living in the age of 1984. We are really living in an Orwellian type situation now. Also, I call it Isaiah 5 times, putting darkness for light and bitter for sweet and evil for good, and then calling the people who actually tell it as it really is crazy, right-wing nutcases, because you have the unmitigated gall to suggest that a woman is a woman and a man is a man. Well, what kind of way out extreme bigot are you? Yeah, I mean, but that's the insane world in which we live. And sadly, even some of our Supreme Court justices are infected with this mental illness, this insanity. Well, it's not really mental illness. I call it moral insanity, because mentally and intellectually, they're just fine. I mean, they can still count and they can still navigate life and still do a job, but they're morally insane. They have completely lost touch with the reality of right and wrong, as God, who is the ultimate arbiter of morality, has handed it down to us. But that's where we are. And it reminds me of a text in Scripture that came to me this morning as I was thinking about the program. And it's in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, which says, "These six things the Lord hates, Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Well, you can just check all of those boxes and say, well, okay, that's exactly what's happening. Lying tongues. Here again, I'm going to get into that a little bit today. Hands that shed innocent blood. You can immediately go to the scourge, the plague, the genocide of abortion. Not to mention all the people who die in inner city violence all across this country in far greater numbers, so much far greater numbers that you cannot even compare the number of people who die at the hands of the police. But I'm going to talk a little bit about that data too. Feet that are swift, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift in running to evil. I mean, the left is devising all kinds of wicked plans for our country. And we see it happening right now. Tear down the statues of Thomas Jefferson. Some school in California is renaming its schools named after Jefferson or Washington. See, this is what I said, folks. It's not going to end with the Confederate statues. That's the opening salvo. Because the whole point is to delegitimize America. A false witness who speaks lies. Got plenty of those right now. Look at 2 years of accusing the president of being a Russian asset, a Russian spy, accusing him of colluding with the Russians and betraying his own country. A false witness who speaks lies. There were lots of them. And one who sows discord among brethren. The seeds of division are being sown all across this country, trying to keep people divided by race, by you name it, whatever. They'll use anything they can. Certainly, the concept of gender, you know, heteronormativity must go. Or in other words, what they really mean is normality must go, normalcy must go, and perversion is the order of the day now. Deviancy is the order of the day. Yeah, let's have a lot more deviancy and a lot more sexual perversion. That's exactly what the country needs right now. Yes, indeed. We're going to be a much, much better country. The moment we can legalize pedophilia, oh, what a much better. We'll be a much nicer country then. And I know, folks, that may seem far-fetched, but think about this. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, some of the things happening right now, somebody had told you they were going to be happening, you would have laughed at them and said, well, that's ridiculous. We know that'll never happen. And yet here we are. Drag queen story time for elementary school children and younger. You just say, well, that'll never happen. People will never go for that. That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to allow some transvestite, transgender, whatever they are, to be trying to inculcate their children and recruit their children into an acceptance of and approval of that perversion. And yet, the National Library Association, whatever they're called, American or National Library Association, had vehemently committed to that. Anybody who doesn't want to do that is a bigot. You don't want to bring your children to be fawned over by some sort of transgender something or other? Oh, what's wrong with you? What kind of parent are you? Of course that's a great thing to do. Good evil. Evil good. We got to set the record straight. We're going to do that to some extent today. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
While the world is waiting for a coronavirus vaccine, it's worth taking a moment to ask some important questions. Dr. Francis Collins, director of NIH, believes we would have 100 million doses of a vaccine ready in early 2021. Is that possible? Normally, it takes more than a decade to produce a vaccine and get it approved, and usually there's a 90% failure rate. Researchers are pursuing three different paths to a vaccine. Moderna has developed an RNA vaccine, AstraZeneca has produced a viral vaccine, and a French pharmaceutical company has developed an antigen vaccine. Many are going through human trials. Usually, there are three phases to these trials. Phase 1 determines the safety and immune response. Phase 2 uses a randomized trial that employs hundreds of participants, and phase 3 tests for efficacy and safety with thousands of people to learn about side effects. In an attempt to speed up the process, animal and human tests were often done at the same time. Some vaccines might even be mass produced before we know the vaccine even works. If the vaccine is not effective, the stockpile would be destroyed. One obvious question is whether speeding the process would be dangerous. 3 years ago, a rushed campaign to vaccinate children in the Philippines was stopped for safety reasons. In 1976, President Gerald Ford rushed the swine flu vaccine program, and a number of Americans developed a rare disorder where the body's immune system attacks the nerves. Another question is how many Americans will be willing to be vaccinated. A recent poll indicates that only half of the country will take the vaccine when produced. Should Americans be forced to take the vaccine? These are important questions that need to be asked now. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Brian Fisher here. Neil Gorsuch betrays the president and us by going over to the dark side of the force. A Georgia police officer takes Chris Cuomo to school on the shooting at Wendy's. Google sets out to destroy conservative websites. And even the Wall Street Journal says the Chinese virus threat is over and it's time to reopen America. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
I don't know whether you all have noticed this, but once again, I can, and this is not at all gratuitous, folks. It's not a commercial for us. It is out of the sincerity of my heart. I am so grateful for American Family Radio. Even if I weren't here as a host, I am so grateful because the media is so totally corrupt. Totally corrupt. That you simply cannot get truthful information out of it in almost any instance anymore. Even some of those places where we used to think we could rely, they're being corrupted and they're coming under the same kind of pressure. Obviously, individual talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and some of these other folks who have editorial control over their programming. They can continue to talk about the things that they think are important. I'm thinking of radio now, so more than television. But even there, we know that the primary problem we've got in our country is God. God being, in effect, banned from the public square, banned from our schools, banned from our colleges and universities, banned from our thinking, banned from our entertainment. And you simply cannot prosper without God. And I think we're witnessing the devolution of our country in part because, at root, because this is the fruit of having a generation or more that's continually tried to push God out of the picture. And so since God is the truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you push God out, what do you get? You get lies, lies upon lies upon lies. And this is what we're getting right now. I mean, we are being lied to in the extreme. And the mainstream media will promote the lies. And here, where we're telling the truth, do you think they'll amplify that? Absolutely not. They don't want to hear that. I'm sure you all have been seeing the stories. Big tech cracking down on the Federalist Society. The Federalist Society is a legal organization. It is an organization of lawyers who try to uphold the Constitution and the principles that hold our country together. And they're not a racist organization. They're a legal organization. I don't think I'm a member of the Federalist Society, but I have been, and I certainly support their work. There's nothing racist or racial about what they do. They're simply constitutionalists. I describe them that way. Well, as you all know, Google has demonetized their advertising because apparently I don't know what they supposedly have done, but I know you all know I've been banned from Twitter, and I still have absolutely no clue what the basis for that banning is, because I did not say a thing wrong, nothing vulgar. In fact, they sent me their standards. I looked at their standards, and I didn't see any way in which I violated their standards or it even came close. So this is about censoring the truth and amplifying and promoting lies. That's what this is about. And big tech, which has immense power and influence in this country and around the world, are really part of the conspiracy, and I use that word in quotes, are really part of the conspiracy to deny people access to the truth. Because if you want to manipulate people, you want to control people, you need to propagandize them, you need to indoctrinate them, you need to inculcate them with a lot of lies and falsehoods that make them compliant with the evil that you want to perpetrate. I mean, think about that. Hitler did it. Mao Zedong did it. Castro did it. They have to take care. They have to take control of the information that people have access to. Communist China right now, Xi Jinping is doing it. They have to take control of the access to information and make sure that people only hear what they want them to hear. And that's exactly what's going on in our country right now. We are living in a totalitarian culture. We really are. We're living in a totalitarian culture. Thank God we're not living under a totalitarian state yet. But make no mistake about it, these leftists would love to have us living under that regime, because then they could control everything. Now, here's just some of the lies that are being perpetrated. By the way, be sure to tune in on Friday for Father's Day. I want to hear from you all about your fathers. I'm planning to have a special guest with me, and I won't announce that just yet. I haven't confirmed everything, but I want to hear from you all about your fathers. Because frankly, folks, I think a lot of our problems here, again, they go back to the rejection of God and the rejection of the family, and the main attack on the family has been the attack on fatherhood itself. But for example, you know, I've said this, I'm no fan of the Confederacy. It was a terribly dark moment in American history when we almost did not maintain our unity as a nation. So it was a very, very tough time. I don't think that everybody who fought for the Confederacy was a racist, evil dog. I think it was much more complicated than that, obviously. And I don't think that everybody that fought for the Union was some enlightened person of racial justice. It's more complicated than that. But nevertheless, we came to war against each other. And it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. It split up families. I told you all I'm reading the biography of Stonewall Jackson. One of the things I've learned is that Stonewall Jackson and his sister were extremely close. I mean, they grew up very, very close. They supported each other, loved each other, encouraged each other, talked to each other frequently. And when the Civil War started, They split and never spoke again. It was a terrible time in our country. However, tearing down these statues and defacing them and removing them, I think, is not about opposition to the Confederacy, because the Confederacy no longer exists. I don't think it's about operation to racism, because those statutes can't hurt anybody. And by the way, I don't care if communities decide they're going to move them to a park, going to move them to a historical site, whatever they're going to do with them. But I do care that it's done lawfully, that it's done peaceably, that it's done by the agreement of the people. But tearing them down and defacing them and using violence and mayhem to get your way, it's not about those things. It's really about destabilizing and delegitimizing the United States of America. And so in a California elementary school, of course, this stuff always, for some reason, seems to start there. Two elementary schools in San Francisco are renaming their schools. They're getting rid of the George Washington and Thomas Jefferson names because they were slaveholders. So here we go. You know, I told you all, you delegitimize the founding fathers, and then you delegitimize the founding documents, you delegitimize the Constitution, and before you know it, you delegitimized America, and now what you got to do is remake it into some sort of socialist, Marxist, communist dystopia, because that's exactly what it would be. They think they're going to create a utopia. What they're going to create is a nightmare if they could ever get that done. And by the grace of God, they'll never get it done. Not on our watch. They're not going to get it done. But this is one of the lies, that the founding fathers were bad people because they happened to live in the 18th and 19th centuries, and therefore they're inherently evil because they own slaves. Well, that's a lie. They weren't inherently evil because they owned slaves. They were part of a culture in which that was being practiced. It was being practiced all over the world. It didn't get invented by America. They understood the contradiction between our values as Americans and what slavery represented. They struggled with it. They were convicted by it. As you all know, George Washington released all of his slaves at his death, and not only released them, set them free, manumitted them, but also made sure of their care. He provided income for them because he was concerned about how they were going to survive as free people in a culture that had not, might not accept them, that might not easily, readily matriculate them into normal life. So he made sure, particularly those who were elderly, made sure they were cared for. It was a supremely compassionate and decent thing to do. But no. His name is to be removed because, after all, he owned slaves. That's just one of the many lies. Here's another interesting lie that we're being told, that somehow all people speaking, quote unquote, for the black community and black liberation and so forth are great, and they're to be admired. And so Jennifer Aniston and Jessica Chastain have promoted a clip of Louis Farrakhan, one of his speeches, with commendations. It's powerful, one of them said. Oh, it's powerful. And he was charismatic. He is charismatic. He's still alive. He was charismatic. Louis Farrakhan is one of the most evil individuals in our country and maybe on the face of the earth. He is deeply racist. He is deeply anti-Semitic. He is deeply godless, because that thing that he serves is not a god, is not God. It's a demon. And that demon possesses him. But I can't say that, right? Because that's the truth. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Once, while in Athens, Greece, a few of us decided to take a walk around part of that city. When we got ready to leave our hotel, an elderly lady who was in our tour group asked to go with us. We told her that we would be happy for her to come along. One of the reasons for the walk was to allow some of the other members of our group to cash some traveler's checks. So the first place we stopped was at a bank. While waiting at the bank, the lady began to tell me something about herself. She told me where she was from, who she was traveling with, and so on. Soon her conversation got around to her money. She told me how she had scrimped and saved, painstakingly looked for the best business deal, and done without down through the years. Then she informed me that about 6 months earlier, she decided that since she was on up in years and that she couldn't take her small fortune with her, she was going to enjoy some of it. You know, I thought about what that lady said. I thought of all the people I knew who made it their greatest ambition in life to make another dollar. I thought about all those people whose bankroll was larger than their spirit, whose stocks were more important than their fellow man. Soon, some of us decided to go back to the hotel, while others wanted to do some more shopping. So we split, and each person went their own way. The little lady went back with me to the hotel. Now, there was a candy shop next to our hotel, and as I started into the hotel, the lady told me she wanted to go in and get some candy. So I went on into the hotel while she went next door to the candy shop. In the hotel, I continued to think about the lady and her conversion concerning her money. I thought about what the Galilean had to say about money and man's use of it. I thought of all the wars that had been fought, and all the murders that had been committed, and all the people who had become less than animals because of their greed for money. Well, after a few minutes, I decided that I would go to the candy store myself and get something sweet. The little lady was still there. She was sampling every piece of candy they had, and since no one in the shop spoke English, she was having a hard time making herself understood. I could see that the salespeople were becoming annoyed with her. I found myself a piece of candy that I wanted, paid the cashier for it, and began to eat it. The lady came over, looked at my candy, and asked me if it was good. I told her that it was, and so she told the waiter that she wanted a piece of candy just like that one, the one that I had. Well, the waiter took the candy, wrapped it, and gave it to her. "How much?" she asked. The waiter gave her the price in Greek money. She couldn't figure out the exchange rate, so she turned to me and asked, "How much is that in American money?" I answered her, "It's 12 cents. Well, she looked at me first and then at the waiter. "That's too expensive," she said, and gave the candy back. You know, I guess that after 50 years of stinginess, parting with 12 cents is an awful hard thing to do.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, we're talking about lies that are permeating our society. I want you to listen to one that is being told by a woman named Angela Rye. She's a CNN commentator. She's the former executive director of the Congressional Black Caucus. And this is something that she said recently on CNN with regard to Rayshard Brooks. Take a listen.
"That man was asleep in a car parking lot. He ran and he realized that his life was at risk. That is why he took that taser. He was trying to fight back because every time we don't fight back, we die.
Every time we don't fight back, we die." Now, I cannot think of a more disgusting instance of anti-police demagoguery, because all that is calculated to do is to stir people up and get people killed. She is saying basically to every black person who has an interaction with police, if you don't fight them, you are going to die. When in fact, the opposite is true. If you fight the police, you are far, far more likely to end up dead, particularly if you start trying to take their gun or take their taser, take their weapons and use those weapons on them, you are likely to be seriously injured and perhaps killed.
Jim Clyburn said, I think it was just yesterday, he is more afraid of the police now than he was during the era of Jim Crow segregation. He's more afraid of the police now than he was during the era of Jim Crow segregation. In other words, things have not gotten better. They've gotten worse. I mean, these are the lies that are being spewed. In fact, I just wrote a letter, and if you go to, I think you'll find it on my website, and the letter's entitled, Liberals Lie, People Die. Liberals Lie, People Die. And that's exactly what is going on here. Look, the data simply tells a different story. And do you notice you never hear that? You don't, first of all, let's just get one thing straight now. Let me put this out here again. I think I've said this before. Black Lives Matter is itself a lie. The organization itself is a lie because black lives don't matter to them. They don't. The only lives that matter to them are the black lives that they can use for a political purpose. Now, I said in this letter that when retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn was killed, I didn't hear black lives talk about that. He was shot down by a looter, black man, killed. After serving his community for many, many years, retiring as a police captain, honorable, decent man, living a law-abiding life, he's now dead at the hands of a looter under these riots that were inspired by Black Lives Matter after the death of George Floyd. But I didn't hear them saying, oh, please, you know, that's not what this is about. We don't want to see any black police officer killed. I didn't hear it. I never have heard it. Florida Wildlife Conservation Officer Julian Keene Jr., he was shot to death while trying to respond off duty to a hit and run accident, trying to help people. And he was gunned down. He's black. I haven't heard Black Lives Matter say, oh, this is terrible. Oh, my goodness. We don't want any black people dying. All the people who have died in the riots since the death of George Floyd, most of them black. I haven't heard them complain about that. So that whole thing is a lie. It is just one big, bodacious lie. And I would say to all of these so-called conservative politicians, these Republicans, you better be careful. You better be very careful about feeding the mob. You better be very careful about feeding the mob because you think you can pander to it a little bit and you can feed it a little bit and it'll be nice and it won't bite your hand off. Listen, they'll gobble you up and spit you out. Because this is not about humanity. This is about power and control. And we're seeing it everywhere we look. I mean, and this is part of the lie. And I know this is going to be stark, but it needs to be said. Part of the lie is all white people are bad because they're racist. They're inherently evil. They can't help themselves. And all black people are good because they're just victims. Just victims of white supremacy and white racism. They're good. That's a lie out of a pit of hell, and every Christian's got to know it. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there are no racial exceptions. And we and anybody who's a Christian ought to just know better. You ought to just know better than to buy into this garbage. Europeans aren't the only people who enslave people. I mean, come on. Are you kidding? Every demographic and racial group in this world has engaged in slavery. Every single one of them. So we have got to begin to assert the truth here, or these people are going to destroy our country. They really are. And that's why I'm not giving not a single inch, not a single inch. You know what? I'll support Black Lives Matter when they change their name to All Lives Matter or American Lives Matter. And when they come to me and beg my forgiveness for not saying anything about the thousands of young black men all across this country who die at the hands of black-on-black violence that nobody wants to really talk about, and all the young children, 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, who are minding their business. One young man that I wrote about many years ago, a scholar, a football hero, on his way home, caught in the middle of some kind of gang fight, and they killed him with railroad ties of some kind, just beat him to death like he was a dog. And the people who beat him to death were black. I didn't hear Jesse Jackson say a word. I didn't hear Al Sharpton say a word. So they, you know, they can get my support when they change their name and then come to me and beg my forgiveness for having stepped over the bodies of so many black people who have died because they didn't suit their political agenda. But they could care less about their deaths and care less about the lives that were wasted. They could care less about the 400,000 or so black babies that are murdered every single year at the hands of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, which was pioneered by a vicious racist named Margaret Sanger, who hated black people and hated, by the way, anybody who she thought wasn't worthy of life because she felt like she knew who was worthy and who wasn't. And that the weeds had to be pulled up, and that the feeble-minded needed to be gotten rid of. They can come to me when they want to apologize for having turned a blind eye to all the deaths and saying, let's work together as Americans to save American lives, regardless of their skin color. Then we can talk. Until then, they can take their little Black Lives Matter and just throw it in the lake somewhere. Because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Those of us who really are concerned about the lives of people, those of us who are really concerned about black lives and white lives and brown lives, and, you know, we don't need to make the color distinction, but those of us who are really concerned about American lives, we can work together to actually help solve this problem that we're having rather than going along with these racist demagogues who are interested in nothing but power over people. And you got a bunch of dumb Hollywood and sports figures who are going right along with it and giving them everything they want. They're feeding the monster, and they don't know that the monster is going to eventually gobble them up too. Well, I tell you what, the monster's not going to gobble us up because we see the monster for what it is. I'm going to take your calls when we come back. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
I closed every blind in my house. I closed every curtain. And I mourned for about 2 days.
Learning that your child has special needs is heartbreaking. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Lisa Sexton.
I needed to mourn that I lost the normal baby. Mm-hmm. That my life was not going to be a white picket fence with a pretty house and going to the baseball diamond like we had dreamed. And after those 2 days, I opened every curtain and I opened my heart. And I went up and got Tyler out of his crib. And he sat on my lap and I said, you know, you are going to be the cutest, sweetest, smartest, most darling little boy with cerebral palsy, and I'm going to be proud of you. And I chose to get up and praise God that day.
God has a plan for your child, no matter what the diagnosis is. More from Lisa at FamilyMinute.org.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, and I want to encourage you to join us this weekend. We're going to be continuing our Encountering Jesus series. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus as he ministered one-on-one to individuals. And this week, it's the woman at the well. We're going to see the power of Christ's forgiveness, his reconciliation, and how he invites us to worship in spirit and in truth. You can listen on this station or connect with us at foiradio.org.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have. And start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Folks, I just have to share this with you just before I come to the phones. To give you a sense of how long I have been focusing on and trying to solve these issues, this is an editorial I wrote in October of 2009 on the death of Darian Gilbert. That was his name. That's 11 years ago almost. And I'm not going to read the entire thing to you. It'll take up too much time. But here's part of what I said. On Thursday, September 24th, after an apparently productive day at Fengler High School in Chicago, Darian Albert, a 16-year-old honor student, was knocked to the ground by a blow to the head with a railroad tie. He was then punched, kicked, and stomped. Those who responded to rescue him were too late. Darian had walked into the middle of a fight between two rival black gangs. He attempted to help one of the victims in the melee and was killed for his trouble. This took place in Barack Obama's Chicago. All of his work for social justice did a great deal for Obama, but it did nothing for Darian Albert. And then I go on to say, and this is the part I really want you all to hear, then I'm going to come to your calls. I may not be able to get what I had in mind. I wanted to, here it is. The so-called black civil rights leaders have been mute. Had this been a white gang attacking a black gang member, they would have jumped in front of every camera and microphone available to decry racism and injustice in America. If it had been a black criminal with a long rap sheet killed in a confrontation with a white police officer, there would have been protests and perhaps riots against systemic racism in the police department. Yet in this case and others like it, there is a deafening silence from some of the biggest mouths in America. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Julian Bond, Louis Farrakhan, and the Congressional Black Caucus see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Now that I wrote 11 years ago, and here we are. Darian Gilbert was never celebrated, was never talked about. So Black Lives Matter, don't even talk to me. I don't even want to hear it until we start acknowledging all the kids with potential across this country who are dying, in many cases innocently, because we have failed to deal with the issue of law and order in these communities and give these people an opportunity to live their lives peaceably, get a decent education, and make something of themselves, something I've had the privilege of doing and all these civil rights leaders, so-called, have had the privilege of doing, and they're depriving it of others and substituting and said, we're going to tear down a Confederate statue. Boy, that's going to make your life a lot better. Okay, all right, let me go to your calls here, folks. Oh, boy. Let's see. Let's go to who's been waiting the longest. Let's go to Clifton in Virginia. Clifton, welcome.
Yes, Brother Reverend Jackson. You know, I can tell a world of difference in you and Al Sharpton. You are a peacemaker. He is a divider. And he should be ashamed to carry the name Reverend. I have never heard him mention God, ever try to make peace or anything. But the reason I called you, I was listening to this, doing some studying on slavery in America, and it was, I agree with you, it was a terrible thing. Should have never happened anywhere. But there were black slave owners in America. In Louisiana, during the Civil War at one time, the majority of slave owners were black. And I read that the first slave owner in America in the year 15-something was a black man. And less than 5% of the people that actually fought for the South actually owned slaves. They were just fighting for the rights of the other ones. And I got to thinking one day as a Christian man, and I want your thoughts on this. Isn't a black man or a white man that would sell kids and these young men drugs and dope, aren't they as bad as any slave owner that ever was? They're enslaving their own people to drugs.
Wow, Clifton. Listen, Clifton, thank you for the call. I agree with you. It's evil, and that's really the issue. The issue is evil, and it manifests in all kinds of different ways and all kinds of different people. And, of course, you know, you'll have people who will justify it and say, yeah, well, they don't have any other opportunities and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when it comes to slavery, they won't acknowledge that when you come up in that system and you think that that's the only way of life, that you don't know anything else. And yet our founding fathers, for the most part, came to abhor the institution and realize it was inherently wrong. I don't see a whole lot of drug dealers deciding that dealing drugs to a community is wrong and turning away from that. And I don't see a whole lot of hue and cry about the fact that many of these drug dealers are living in their own communities and poisoning, quote unquote, their own people. No, you can't mention that. No. Well, we don't bring the drugs in. The drugs come. We don't have the airplanes. And once again, it's just a justification for evil. And it's somebody else's fault. So, by the way, you're also right about the fact that there were many, many black slave owners here again, which proves my point. It's not the skin, it's the sin. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Well, things are hot in Georgia right now. Wesley, how are you?
I'm good, Bishop. You inspired me. You're on a roll today. And I want to say, I'm not talking to you in the about you in this, and there are so many great pastors in this country. But I just want to ask you, there were so many pastors that came out and criticized President Trump for walking across the road to that church that got vandalized. I believe it was an Episcopal church, and holding up a Bible. He took a lot of heat from a lot of pastors in this country. And I just want to say, where are those pastors this week in talking about what the Supreme Court did Monday? You know, I haven't seen near the outcry and criticism of the Supreme Court about that monumental decision they made versus the outcry I saw when Donald Trump simply just walked across the road and held a Bible up, basically making a stand that we're going to stand for Christian values. And I also want to know, where is the outcry from the GOP senators? Because most of them have cowtailed and bowed to the Supreme Court abuse. Not only our religious freedom, but their constitutional bound. They're bound by the Constitution not to legislate from the bench. So you got a two-way. They violated two things, in my opinion, both our religious freedom and their bounds in the Constitution. So I'll let you run with that, but I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too. Thanks for the call, Wesley. Well, where are the pastors? I don't know. Look, I don't want to in any way diminish the wonderful, courageous pastors that I've met all across this country, and they are out there, but they are too few. And I guess the rest are hiding under their desks in their studies or something. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but I know one thing, that every single one of us is going to answer to God. And the Bible says that those who answer the call to be teachers are going to have the more difficult judgment, because we're going to be responsible not only for our own behavior, but we're going to be responsible for what we did to teach others the way, to show them the way. And you're right, it's easy to criticize the president when you know the mainstream media will love you for it and you'll get patted on the back. I'm glad we've got a president who is willing to stand up in front of a church and hold up a Bible, because I think the church and the Bible is something that the whole society needs, but instead some ridiculed him for it. So, but on the other hand, you've got pastors who will go bless the Planned Parenthood clinic and celebrate the fact that you're going to have an opportunity to kill more babies in there. So we are living in some difficult times, but you know, the Bible says judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And I certainly want to be in a position for God to say, well done, not something else that these other folks are going to face when they stand before God for some of the things that they've done, like Al Sharpton, under the guise calling themselves reverend, when there's absolutely no adherence to the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way. But thanks for the call, Wesley. Let's go to Deanna in Mississippi. Deanna, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I thank you for your program. I listen to it on my lunch break when I go off every day, if I get to around noon. I just wanted to know, with your comments on Confederate issues lately, the statues and Black Lives Matter, what's your opinion on them trying to change the Mississippi state flag again? I had a cousin of mine, actually, she's an educator, and she was part of the Black Lives Movement recently. And she was talking about how she just wanted black people to be comfortable in their own skin. And if this helped them do that, then she wanted to be a part of that. But I've never heard of anybody not being comfortable in their skin because of a symbol on a flag. Am I wrong, or what's your opinion?
Well, look, I mean, I agree with you. You got to be comfortable in your own skin because you're comfortable in who you are and who God made you to be. You know, my position on that, and I'm not familiar, I should be, but I'm not familiar with the Mississippi flag, because I guess it must have the stars and bars in it or something. But, okay, so yeah, my producer told me it does. So, look, this is my view on it. The people of Mississippi have got to make that decision themselves. They've got to decide, okay, does this reflect who we are? Are we past the past, or are we still dealing with the past? And what do we need to do to bring ourselves together as a state so we can work together and everybody feel comfortable? I mean, I just think that that's where it is. I don't think the American people can dictate that for Mississippi. I think the people of Mississippi have got to decide that for themselves on the basis of their own sense of comfort with where they are. Let me just say, well, I'm probably not going to get to another call. You know, please forgive me, but my position is this. We live in a First Amendment nation, and whether somebody flies a Confederate flag on their truck, on their house, on their private property is their business and their business alone. It does not make me feel the least bit comfortable. I could care less. My wife and I went and looked at a house, and somebody had a Confederate flag in the bedroom, and we happened to have a black realtor, and the realtor said, "Oh, would you buy this house with that flag?" I said, "Well, we're not going to leave it there." It doesn't give me what difference does it make to us? I mean, you know. That's what they want to do. But when it comes to public property, I think that's a public issue, and people have to debate that. What we don't need is vandalism and destruction of property. And it's hard to have a discussion about these things because there are people who simply won't acknowledge that you can have respect for your heritage and history without being a racist. And it's some people just won't accept that. So it's a tough one, but for I think every one of these states and localities, they've got to make a decision with the people exactly how they're going to deal with this and try to respect folks and bring us together rather than ripping us apart. Well, that's going to do it for today. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.